Thursday night. Chavos Halvavos Shir Yichud HaMaisa, and we're learning about the Yetzer Hara because we're learning Perek Hamishi, and he's talking about now, he's getting down to brass tacks, to everyday life. He's finished with the theology and the philosophy, and now he's saying that the Yetzer Hara tries to involve you in Olam Hazeh, and he has very specific descriptions of how he involves you in Olam Hazeh, and what your goals are, and what you're living for, and what you involve yourself in, and what your life is all about. And he describes it, and then he describes that the Torah talks you into saying things are necessary when they're not really necessary, and then he wants, then you get into who your friends are, and you want to have what they have, and you want to live up to a certain standard of living, so you'll be in a certain status of society. And then once you're in that status of society, then you want to, he says, you start studying other things. You want to make sure you're up on current events, and you could discuss the latest books on the New York Times bestseller list, and you know about sports, because you want to mingle in society. So again, so you spend time doing that. And so we're on page Kufayin Hay. He says, like, let's say around the middle of the page, at the beginning of the line is Ba'al Tatrid Mashavcha B'Limudim. Don't bother yourself, the Yetzer Hara says, with even intellectual stuff, Ki'im, unless it'll gain you brownie points with your friends or in the segment of society that you're in. Let's say throughout history, you know, once the, if the Jews, let's say, once the ghetto walls fell, let's say Germany or in France, once the ghetto walls fell, then they wanted to show that they're cultured, and they wanted to, this was written back, way back in the early part of the Elef Hashishi, but history certainly shows that this is what happens, that you want to, in America it happened certainly when the Jews came to America, first the Western Europeans came, not so much the Eastern Europeans, but the Western Europeans, certainly they wanted to blend in and assimilate with society, and they, I mean, in my days, when I was growing up, a college degree was considered like the apex of success. Just the very fact that you got a college degree. I'm not talking about the knowledge that you earning the degree, or treating it as a vocational thing in order to get a job, but just the very fact that he was a man of letters, it's called, I think, right? And, okay, so, Kiyem b'meshiyelecho bo'chein b'nei anshei dorecho v'sisratze bo'etzel nichbadei anshei zmancho k'gon sar you have not with the politicians. They like to have you at their parties. You're a very interesting speaker. You know 11 languages. You know about music and all these things. Now these things, there's nothing wrong with knowing them. He's talking about making this preoccupy yourself with it. And certainly at the expense of what you're supposed to be doing. Umivchar Hasipurim, you know, all the latest books, Ufloy Hamasholim and Adiri Hamasos, Basmoda, Bemoshva, and Sheatzachus, and all these things are societal advancement. Ulamidas is Badabrus and Kosug Mibnei Adam, you know how to talk to people, you feel comfortable in all strata of society. He's telling you, you know, you're part of the world, and you don't want to be Tzachil Hashem if you're not able to discuss intelligently Obama's economic plan, the stimulus plan, or the medical Obamacare. If you're not able to discuss it intelligently, then it's a Chil Hashem Mamish. Right? He says that. Well, the Midas Chachos Malchei HaKochavim, astronomy or astrology, Lishpat Alpiyam, Lohamav Liyachidim, Oz Tivoyt B'Sech Lecha, So how do you get your head screwed on straight from all of this? To have a proper sense of balance about all of this. Certainly, the Chavis Halvados himself went through many, many disciplines of Chochmah in Shar HaBechina and said it's an absolute obligation to study them and to know them in order to appreciate Hashem's world better. But here he's talking about in order to curry favor with the people that you want to associate with. His yesod is here, if you want to step back, and his point is, it's a very, very, very valid point, that the first line of attack of the Yetzirah, after he finishes the theological stuff and the religious stuff, right, and the intellectual proofs, and is there Hashem, and is there Schar Ba'onesh, and is there an Olam Haba, and is Torah Sheba'al Peh true? Once he finishes that, he says, live in this world, excel in this world, that's your goal. As much as we hopefully know, and it's very hard to live that way, that our goal is, let's say, you know, you read it, you say, is my goal to know Shas? Right? Is my goal to know Torah as much as I possibly can? Or is my goal, right, like, to be educated, to be able to converse with people, to be a Renaissance man? You know, if I go see a painting and someone asks me if it's from the post-modern period or the pre-Renault period, and I look at him like he's nuts, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm very embarrassed. I want to study that stuff to know it. Osti voits b'sichlocha. These are very important words. He's not just throwing it out. Remember, he said a few pages ago that the Yetzer is very easy to beat and to fight and to win. It's just that it keeps coming back, but it's very easy to chase away. Just keep keep your seichel, keep your wits about you. And, like, you know, if they ask yourself very specific questions, like, you have to face some hard truths, like a scientist, like you ask certain questions that you can't run away from. It's like, so what about this and what about that? So what's going to be? Do you mean to? But what are you going to say to Hashem after 120 years, like Lamaisa, right? And you force your seichel to confront reality. Oh, that's what I was really looking for. That word is reality. That's what he said. Really. The Yetzirah is not real. The Yetzirah is trying to entice you with things that are fantasies, that are illusory, sheker. And if you are able to focus on emes, you'll be able to chase away the sheker. So that's why it's always tivoyz besichlecha. Reality is really the best musar sefer. Really, I mean, maybe you have to learn Derech Hashem to get a sense of the deeper reality that exists. What I always say about Bitachon when I teach Shara Bitachon, when I learn Shara Bitachon, I say, really, all he's saying is to get in touch with reality, because ultimately the Taka is no one to rely on other than Hashem. Once you believe in Hashem, Bitachon should be a no-brainer. It's just a question of sitting down and forcing yourself to speak out the hard questions. Instead of going through life and just sort of Hashem receding into the background, and you say, you know, practical, you gotta live. But if you force yourself to say, but wait a second, you know, if Hashem does, you force yourself to ask the questions that the Chavis Halvados asks in Shara Bitachon. Is it or is it not true that if Hashem doesn't want it to happen, you know, it's not gonna happen? And if Hashem doesn't want it to happen, it's gonna happen no matter what. So then why should I go through the middleman? Let me directly rely on Hashem. And such, like, very hard questions that you can't escape from. Like a scientist, Lauda, would, like, you have these theories, and then you go, well, wait a second, but according to that, like, you know, so then if we would expose it to heat, then this would happen, and it's not happening. So how do you explain that? Like, you know, you can't just talk. You have to you force a confrontation with reality. It's like saying, but what's it going to be? Lamaisa, you know you're not going to live more than 100 years. You want me to say 120 so you don't feel bad? Fine, 120. But it's not that much time, 120 years. It's just not that much time. So what's going to be after 120 years? Like, do you believe in Olam Haba or not? So then the guy's forced to say, well, I do. So you say, well, if you do, so then what sense does it make to spend your life doing this if that's not going to do you any good after 120 years? Like, so why don't you spend your life doing that, which will do you good after 120 years? So really, the guy has no answer. It's called, what's the word, the fancy schmancy word when you don't want to face reality. What? Yeah. Yeah, like you just want to disconnect. Cognitive dissonance. Like you just want to, you don't want to face reality. So that's what the Chassidus Lubavitch really keeps talking about. Just use your seichel, ask questions, ask yourself this, and then all these yetzaharas will, you just blow them away, like you chase away a fly, we said.
He's talking about
Chazal is only talking about from people. Once we're past the paragraph about believing in Hashem.
No, but they believe in Hashem and they don't think
they don't believe in Maimon HaSinai. Okay, so there's that disconnect. You're right. If you don't believe that Hashem cares about what a person does in this world, so then he has nothing what to fear, right? So they teach you in Kirov courses. You say, is it logical that Hashem doesn't care what you do in this world? What's the purpose? I'm not saying it's easy for you to talk, but the rational mahalach would be for what purpose. Do you believe you're here for a purpose? Or you're here as an accident?
I don't believe you have to learn Torah. Like.
No. You're jumping. You're jumping to Torah. Say, are you here for a purpose? Are you here for a purpose, or are you just standing here and you can do what you want and it really doesn't matter what you do? Because there's no purpose to you being here. Every person wants to feel that his life has a purpose and meaning. Right? So that's baby step one. In fact, his whole book is about that. What's his name? The guy in the concentration camp.
Frankl?
Yeah, Frankl. Frankl, that's his whole yisod of his psychology. He has a mahalach in psychology, I forget what it's called. But his whole mahalach is that life has purpose, and a person could be soivel anything and withstand his tzoros and difficulties as long as he believes there's a purpose to it. And people, it's very rare that, I'm not an expert in Kirov, really, but just like the first step would be to say there's purpose. So you say, well, how are we going to find out that purpose? Are you going to find out that purpose by reading the paper? You're going to ask the head of your political party, Shimon Peres, or Ehud Barak, you're going to ask, what's the purpose of your life? Where are you going to go to find out? Once you say the purpose, you say, okay, how do we discover that purpose? So then hopefully he'll admit that he hasn't a clue how to discover the purpose. So maybe he'll retreat behind that the purpose is to be a moral person, an ethical person. Good. So then you go there and you say, well, okay, is it ethical to perform an abortion? Is it ethical to kill a murderer? So then he'll have to admit that he has no objective standard to judge ethics. So you say, well, who's going to judge what's ethical? Even if I'll grant you that that's the purpose, to be ethical. So you got to back him into a corner that if he believes in Hashem, it's only logical that Hashem gave us the rule book for the purpose that he put us here. Now, if he didn't, so then he says, well, there is a Hashem, but he's disengaged. So then you're back in Chanami. Then they retreat behind that because they don't want to face reality. So they retreat behind, well, that's how the other avodah zarah. They retreat behind, well, of course there's a Hashem, but he's like in Shemayim and he doesn't really get involved, you know. Like that thing I sent around, right? He doesn't care if you fumble a football or not, but you think he cares, right? So you read it and laugh, but when I said in shul that Hashem cares who wins the baseball game, so, you know, you're talking to people react, like, no, he doesn't, but of course he does. Okay, we'll stop here.